Today's share in the Dear Shem Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis. We're in the fifth volume of Mishnah Berurah, and Be'ezus Hashem, we're finishing off the beautiful Simen Tav Tzadi Zayin, and Be'ezus Hashem starting Tav Tzadi Ches. We get on the very top line with Sif Yud Zayin, the last Sif in this Simen. The Mechaber tells us, Im Nimseis Trefa, if you find an animal that's a Trefa, now, you're not allowed to go and move such an animal, also Lataltala, because it's Muktzah. You're not allowed to eat this Trefa on Yontif, and therefore it's Muktzah. However, avamutu l'machra leina Yehudi, but you can go and sell it to a non-Jewish person, kiderach sheitiru mechir l'Yisrael, just like you'd be allowed to sell on Yontif meat to another Jewish person who needs it, so you can sell to a Yid, you can also sell to a non-Jewish person. However, there are rules in the sale, shel yishko v'lo yaskir skum domim. You're not allowed to go and measure it out, to weigh it out, and you're not allowed to mention the exact price. You can say to the Jewish person, and as well to the non-Jewish person, we'll talk about the price afterwards, we'll pay the regular price or something like that. But you're not allowed to measure out and say, here's 5 pounds, it's $5 a pound. That you're not allowed to do. What happens if you don't trust the person? If you don't trust the person, if you don't have some sort of a proof or some sort of a knowledge about how much it is, so then you may not get paid. So in that situation, if you don't trust them, you can take some sort of a collateral. That is allowed even on Yontif. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Nun Aleph tells us, this item is muktzah, and therefore, you're not allowed to do anything with it. You're not allowed to move it. Even if it's out in the hot sun, and it's going to spoil, it's going to start to rot, so you're going to have a financial loss, you're still not allowed to move it because it's muktzah. Also, you're not allowed to move it to a shady spot so it won't spoil so fast. We don't say that maybe you should be allowed to do this because if we don't allow the person to move it, he's going to suffer loss, and he's going to say, well, I won't shecht next time. We don't say that. Why not? Kivan sheyuchal shachta b'machum tzel. Don't shecht it in the hot sun. If you really were concerned about this, go shecht it in the shade l'chatchila. Or alternatively, olamid sham al koponim kodem abdika. Or don't do b'dika. First move it to the shady spot, and then do the b'dika. So if you do find that, in fact, it's a treifa, so now you can't move it, but it's in the shady spot. The fact that you didn't care about this, so that basically demonstrates that you will shecht next time again. So you're not going to say over here that it's going to prevent you from shechting. You clearly are going to shecht because you didn't care about it. However, the Mishnah brings down the Yesha Kosvu. He brings down the name of the Marshal, also the Mogen Avraham. The Lohachi Lohoshashu, they weren't concerned about this, that you may not come to Shech next time, the Shema Mimna Velo Shachit, because the Mishum Shema Yimotzi Trefa Lo Mimna, because the fact that a person might find a Trefa, that's not something that we normally concern ourselves with. Why? The Lo Shricha Trefos, because in general, Trefos aren't common. To find an anatomic abnormality that makes the animal into a Trefa is not common. The issue, footnote number 54, questions this, however. He brings up from Rekiva Eger. He says, I don't understand this. L'chora, l'fi dvarav, according to this, lo muvan madua mutu l'havshis habehema kodem adika. Then how come you're ever allowed to go and flay an animal before you do the bedika, which was yesterday's shir? Shari kivan shemidirabonin also lechol kodem bedika, since technically you're not allowed to go and eat anything before the bedika, because the chashash l'miut motzui sheep. Matzi Trefa, because if we allow you to do the Bedika first, you may come to find a minority likelihood, but a common enough minority likelihood of finding a Trefa, then therefore you won't go and Shecht. So then, if that were the case, then you shouldn't be allowed to go and flay the animal either, because it's not common. And the only reason the rabbis permitted you to go and do the flaying was Mishum Duma Mimna Velo Shachet. And there we did apply this rule that maybe you won't shecht it next time. So he's not sure why we don't apply it over here. Okay. In any event, the Mishnah Berurah continues and he says, Mishum Zeh, based upon this reasoning, Yeshikos, there are those that say, nowadays, in regards to lung abnormalities, lung, the rea is the lung, and trefos, various types of abnormalities in the lungs, let's say adhesions or things like that, that make the animal not kosher. So we have machmir very much on these lung adhesions, on these lung injuries. And therefore, nowadays, shechichei trefos, they actually are quite common. And therefore, based upon the commonness of the lung trefas nowadays, if we didn't allow the person to go and move it over here, then he's going to say, listen, I'm not taking any chances. It's too much of a likelihood that I'll have a trefa, and therefore, I'm not going to shecht. So therefore, If we don't allow the person to move the trefa into a place where it won't decay and spoil, if there is in fact a trefa, therefore nowadays, the Mishnah Berurah says already in our days, in his time, 100 years ago, more, they allowed you to go and move a trefa because lung adhesions are more common nowadays, lung lesions are more common. That's with animals. Rak biavozin v'tarnegolin, with geese and with chickens, the lack of utrefa sareya, where we don't have as much of a likelihood, the Mishnah Berurah says in his time, to have lung adhesions in those birds, mukminan adina, then we leave the din as it is, vasurim betilton, we don't allow you to move the bird if it is found to be a trefa and it's in the sun. The Sharetzion, Osai Invav, brings down from the Chemin Moshe, the avozos shemal itin osam, if you force feed geese, you stuff them, and as a result of the force feeding, you actually have a lot of esophageal tears and a lot of esophageal problems. The vesht is the esophagus, and you'll have trefus there. So then, in fact, then even with the geese who are force fed, so we would allow you to move them, because otherwise, if you didn't allow the person to move the goose, since it's so common that they'll have a trefa because of the force feeding and they have an esophageal rupture or something like that, so therefore we do allow you to go and move it nowadays as well. Dershu footnote number 55 brings down the Shevet HaLevi's, that's Rav Osner, She'ein Masui Trefos Berea Shel Of. He says, it's clear from here, from our Mishnah Berurah, we said we don't find adhesions or lung abnormalities in the geese and the chickens. Clearly, they're not common. However, he says, Afal Pashut, Shaf Ba'ofos, Yesh Din Trefa Berea. He says, not saying that there is no lung adhesions, it's just they're not common. There, in fact, are. And he concludes, Shekoza Eino El Bismanam. That was in their days. Abu Zmanenu already nowadays, the Shevet HaLevi just was Niftar within the past decade. So he says, Bismanenu, Motsui Harbe Sheish Trefos Bereo Shalovos. Even the birds have lots of trefos. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he says, Vechoze Huli Shita Samachaber the Muktsa Osabiyantav. Everything that we just said today in this year is based upon the Shita and the Machaber that says that Muktsa is also in Yantav, as we already learned in Kedlael and Simon Tav Tzadihei. However, Avol Yesh Omrim Shevi HaRama, but the Ramo disagrees with that Shom, the Muktzah Shari, who says there is no concept of Muktzah on Yontif, so then none of this is Halach L'maisa, Gam Bin Yonenu Shari, you can move it all you want because it's not Muktzah. And in fact, Ken Kosu, Kama Poskim, this is in fact the opinion of many Poskim. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he says, V'yesh Me'en Shesovrim, there are those Poskim that say, he brings us down the name of the Gras, in those Ayin Ches in the Sharetzion. And he says, Shesovrim, they hold the behema shenitrefa heavy nolad, that this animal that became a trefa is considered halachically a nolad. And there, nolad is different than other types of muktza. The mikara habiyachazi lachilis adam. Originally, it was able to be eaten by a human being. And now, vihashta omedesi lachilis klav. It's trefa, so a human being can't eat it. It's not kosher. And therefore, you give it to your dogs. And therefore, that's called nolad. Vimkain. Gam layesh omim also, even according to the more makel opinion, says there's no muktzah on yontif. Well, there's no muktzah on yontif. Even the Ramah agrees. Harei kasa shom ba'agah. The Ramah himself said the machmirin on the nolad. There were two opinions we wrote down, but he says certainly one opinion says that we're machmir on nolad, even according to the opinion that says there's no muktzah on yontif. Now we go to Sivkot and Nun Beis in the Mishnah Berurah. Avo mutter. We said you're allowed to sell this animal to a non-Jewish person if it has a trefa in it. Because for Achronim, Mishnah Berurah writes that the Achronim say, do adin bevei mekshari. You can even sell them to kosher animals. It's not dafka, just a non-kosher animal. You can sell them the trefa. You can sell them a kosher animal. Mokum she'ein menakir lenakir ha'achrayim. And why would you want to sell a kosher animal to a non-Jewish person when there's nobody that can do the trebering? The trebering is cutting out menakir, the fats around the git hanosha. That's one of the choicest meats of an animal to make steak from, and that's the filet mignon, and that is something that is very expensive. And if you don't have somebody who can treber it, you certainly don't want to just let this meat go. It's a very difficult skill to know how to treber, to remove the fats, the non-permissible fats of the git hanosha and the git hanosha, and to leave the meat behind. So if nobody's able to do this, she'ein menaker lenaker ha'acharayim, there is nobody who can do nikur. The menaker is the one who does this nikur, the trebering, the removal of the git hanosha and the fats around it. So then you don't want it to go to waste. This meat's very expensive, so you want to sell that meat to a goy. And therefore, mutu l'mochu l'nochri b'derech ha'vorlekan. Therefore, with the caveats that we said, that you can't sell it by weight, you can't specify the amount of money, you can sell it to a Jewish person or to a non-Jewish person. Mishmur concludes and he says, Chozem Choshei Shema Yisrach V'Yiskalkel Arach HaYontif. These dinim only apply if you're concerned that if you don't move it from the sun into the shade or sell it to the non-Jewish person or to the Jewish person, then it will spoil and be ruined before the end of Yontif. But if that's not the case, Avlim Evshalo L'Shamro, if you can watch it and nothing will happen to it, then Lo Sharina Mechir B'Yontif. Then we don't allow Mechir B'Yontif to the Jew or the non-Jew. Bein B'Treifa, Bein B'Acharayim. Whether it's the Treifa and you give it to the non-Jewish person, or there is nobody to do Nikur and you're selling him the kosher meat. Nevertheless, Afilu B'Choshe She'asriach Lo Sharina. Even in a situation where you're afraid it's going to spoil, we don't allow it. We only allow it even under those extenuating circumstances, only when it was just shechted on Yontif and you don't have a choice, or it was shechted right before Yontif and you didn't have time. You didn't have an opportunity, you didn't have time to sell it to the non-Jewish person for Yontif. However, the implication is, if you did in fact have time, then you wouldn't be allowed to sell on Yontif. You're not allowed to do selling on Yontif. Mekach u'memkor is prohibited on Yontif, except for these extenuating circumstances that we talked about. With that, we conclude Simen Tov Tzadi Zayin, and we begin Tov Tzadi Ches. V'chaber begins Sif Aleph. Ein marin sakin l'chochum b'yontif, liros imho roi lishchot bo. There used to be a custom, which we'll learn about in a moment, that the people who were shachtim, as a courtesy to the local rav, to the person in charge, would show their sakin, their knife that they would shacht with, to make sure that it had no blemishes, no pagimos, no things that would passel the knife to be a shchita knife. They would show it to the rav. So the Mechaber is telling us, you don't do this on Yontif. Ein marin sakin l'chochem b'yontif. You don't show your knife, your shechti knife, to the rav, to the chochem on Yontif, to see if it's appropriate to shecht with such a knife. Why not? So the Mechaber tells us, Shema tia paguma, because maybe he's going to find a blemish in it. The Yomalo, he's going to tell you, and also lishchot bo mipnei pekimasa. And he'll say, sorry, you can't use it to shecht. And the person's not going to be happy about that, and he'll forget. And he's going to go and sharpen it on Yontif, which you're not allowed to do. Now, that's a lot. Let's see inside. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Aleph tells us, "Afilu im kfar boda katabach li atzmo b'erev Yontif." This din that you don't show the knife to the chacham on Yontif is true even if you checked it before Yontif and you felt it was a perfectly good knife and you haven't shecht it within it since then, so it didn't get ruined, mistama, and therefore you're not allowed to go and do this even with a checked knife. If you look at Dershu foot number 1, he brings down umash mutal taldel sasakin. How are you allowed to even go and move such a knife? Because it is an expensive knife. You wouldn't go let anybody else do something with it because you certainly don't want to make it have any blemishes. The people that are shaykhdim, they're certainly very makbid over here. They won't let you go and cut anything else with that knife. And it's brought down, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it's exactly that. It's a very expensive thing, and you're not allowed to move it because of chisar and kiss. So how are you allowed to be metalpolis? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal brings down, brought down in the Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa, Shabi Yom Tov Kivin Shemutu Lishchot on Yontif, you're allowed to shecht. Therefore, the sakin is a kli shemalachto leheter, as opposed to on Shabbos, when it would be mukta machmas chisar and kiss. And therefore, v'lachain, and liosu machmas chisar and kiss, even though on Shabbos it might be, but on Yontif it's not. And this, he says, is like kamo koshel zav. This is like a golden cup. Shein asur machlas yisar and kiss. It's not forbidden to move it because of it's an expensive kli. Kivin shemalachta lehetter. Since you're allowed to drink from it, therefore it's not a problem. He adds additional things over here. Ayin and the rest of this footnote. The issue footnote number 2 brings down the reason why you can't show it to the chacham even if you checked it beforehand on erev yontif is because gam leachar shebadek asasakim v'nim sezofa, even though you checked it and found it to be good, so therefore there's no concern theoretically that you're going to find that the chacham says it's bad and you'll go and sharpen it. Nevertheless, he says yesh chashash, there's a concern shema bebediko no sefes timotze asakim paguma, maybe the chacham will find a pagam, a break in it somehow that you didn't notice. As Shulchan Aruch and Yeridah brings down, Shippa Amim, Sheyivdok Odom Pamayim, Shalosh Velo Yagish Bepegima Daka. Sometimes you're going to check it 2 or 3 times even, and you're not going to notice a very small little blemish in the knife. And only afterwards, Yachakach Yimsena, Ki Heichin Libo Biachrona. Because you only see it afterwards. And Ubachinas Kusha Mishush, Kifi Kavanas Alev. A person only sees sometimes or feels sometimes what he really wants to, and therefore you may miss it. If you look in the Bir Halacha, Chofetz Chaim and Dibra Maskil Shem Latia Paguma brings down that this reasoning that we said is based upon the Rambam. That you may find the Pagam in it is the Rambam's explanation. And there are other explanations that are brought down. And you can see these three other explanations in the issue footnote number 7. They're very interesting, so we'll go through them real quickly. And he says, number one is from Rashi, more in Beitza. He says, Hatam hu mishum uvda d'chol. It looks too much like a weekly activity. When you go and ask the Chacham, is my knife good? It's like a public declaration almost that you're going to go shecht and you want to let people know that you're shechting, which is like a weekday activity. That's other reason number one. Number two, the Rif writes, in the name of the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, the Chacham is not in town. Maybe he's outside taking a walk or he's in another town and you're going to end up carrying it outside the Tchum. Number three, the sheet of the Razah, Rav Zerachya Levi, the Balamor. See, he brings down Nechsheves Kiriyas Mumi Bechor. This is the same halachic idea as you're not allowed to go show the blemishes on a Bechor to a Talmud Chacham on Yontif, Shasur B'Yontif. Why not? So, brings down from the Mishnah Berurah, Shekivin Shasu Lishchot Bechor, you're not allowed to shech the Bechor, Afilu Yesh Bo Mum Gomor, even if it has a real Mum, unless a Chacham is Matirit. So the Horoah of the Chacham says it now is able to be shechted, so he's making a ticket on it. And the opinion of the Baal Amor, Zerachya Levi, Shigam es Riyas HaSakin Yeshle, so many times, and therefore you can't even show the knife. Shari Lelo Riyas HaChacham, also Lishcho B'Sakin, because without showing it to the Chacham, you're not allowed to shecht. So this is like the Bechor, the exact same thing. He adds that the Chacham can go see the knife for himself. That's allowed. Why? The Beis Yosef brings down, Riyas HaChacham Neshevis Ketikin HaSakin Davka Lechem. It's only for somebody else is it called a tikin. Kemish Osum Lishchopo Lo Shiru L'Chacham, because they can't shech without showing to the Chacham. However, the Chacham, he doesn't have that problem. So therefore, he's allowed to see for himself. And therefore, it's not he's not doing something. He's not doing a takana over here. He's just saying, well, it's perfectly good for me to shech, but he's not making a takana in it. Then we also read the rest of this Bir Halacha where he says, V'yesh od gimel tamim, and he says, look in the Beis Yosef and the Bach, and the Mechaber chose the time of the Rabbah. Why is that? Because the Smag and the Ramban also agree with that. Why? Because he says, L'taymo, according to this reasoning, gam bisman hazeh she'ein derech laros ha-sakim chacham. Nowadays, people don't always show their sakin to the Talmud Chacham. Nevertheless, this reason applies that you may come to sharpen it. El-kolecha bodek le'atzmo gam kein oser. Mashken kein le'idoch tamim. The other reasons, they don't apply. As opposed to the sharpening reason, that still does apply. Therefore, he brings up the Vilna Gaon. That's why the Ramah says, on Yontif you can, because you can rely upon these other heterim from these poskim where this din doesn't apply. Next, Bir Halacha, you may come to sharpen it. What happens if the knife was perfectly good and then it broke on Yontif? So are you allowed to go and ask an Akum to go and sharpen it for you? So he says that's a Tzorech Iyun. He's not sure, but he brings after the Prima Gadim that the Prima Gadim says, if you're dealing over here with the Shas Adchak, the Tzorech Gadol, and you have no other food, it's a real pressing need, after the Shari, maybe you could ask a non-Jewish person to go sharpen it for you. Then the Mechaber adds, V'chochem shiro sakim liyatzo. If the Chochem sees the sakim for himself, yochol lashir liyachem. Once he declares it's good for himself, he could even lend it to somebody else. The Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Dalet explains, Haino beveso b'yontiv kidei lishchopo. The Chochem himself is looking at it in his own house to go and shech with it. The issue foot number 6 says, what happens if there's another Chochem in the city? So the Das Torah says that it's mashma from Rashi, shachochem ro liatzvo vein tzorech laros l'chaveru sakino. He doesn't have to go show to the other Talmud Chochem, unless in Ken Yesh Be'ir, Chochem gadol mimenu. He has to be greater than him, and then this would apply. However, he says in the Sefer Apardes, Rashi writes, Shesh l'chochem laros is a sakin, gam l'chochem shavalo. No, every Chochem should show to somebody else, even if the person is his equal, not greater than him. And Rashi concludes over there in the Sefer Apardes, Shekos l'bishochet lachem. That's if you're shechting for somebody else. But if you're shechting for yourself, then definitely you don't have to show it to another Chochem unless he is greater than you. Mishnah Berurah continues. It says, "Ayn leprichadosh shemitzadi dafilu lechatchila yochel lechochem liros sakino shalatzmo kedi lashil lachem." You can even do this lechatchila go and look at your own knife and then give it to somebody else, even though that was your real purpose. And he says, why? Because you're not concerned that the Talmud Chacham is going to go and sharpen it. He knows very well that it's forbidden to go and do that, and therefore there is no such concern. So that's why if he doesn't want to even rely on his own bedika, he's allowed to show it to somebody else. With this, we conclude today's shir.